time now for the Sunday News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. Your Fairfield area weather forecast for the day calling for a 50% chance of showers with increasing clouds, high near 42. We'll have a full forecast along with current temperatures after the news. I'm Jeremy Smith reporting. Our lead story. The Capital Classic basketball tournament wrapped up on Saturday night with a championship matchup that would see the Fairfield Mules face off against the Marshall Lions. Here are Mark Turner and Jeff Vaughn with the results of that game.
Heartbreaking loss for the Mules in the finals of the Capital Classic. They lose by 12 to Marshall, 83-71. And Jeff, it was the guard play of Marshall that was the difference.
Oh, absolutely. Ethan Cowan, Jaden Wallace, fantastic games, 14 and 21 points. But Daniel Tingley, the tournament MVP, 24 points, 11 for 11 from the charity stripe, hit some timely threes, and Fairfield was tied at 50 through three quarters, but Marshall just pulled away in the fourth.
Great weekend of basketball for the Mules. We saw Coach Scott McElravy break the career wins record at Fairfield Community High School in the earlier win over Red Hill on Saturday morning. The Mules place three guys on the all-tournament team and very well could have placed a fourth.
Yeah, Luke Dagg, we voted for him, didn't quite make it, but you did have Kane Hicksonbaugh, who was the best player on the floor for the tournament, in my opinion, Wyatt Gilbert and Landon Zerlini. And Fairfield, you know, they won this tournament last year, their first time winning in their history here. They hadn't gotten second place ever before either. So, you know, keeping the streaks going with this second place finish.
Again, the final tonight, Marshall 83 and Fairfield 71. Fairfield finishes second in the Capital Classic here at Red Hill. Also want to mention the Lady Mules. They defeat Marshall tonight 46-45 on a last-second three-pointer by Emma Freymeyer to take third place at the Robinson Tournament. Congratulations to the Lady Mules.
That's another good tournament, another tough tournament. The Lady Mules, they're a fun team to watch. They're going to be in action at the Mule Barn on Tuesday, so come on out and see that one if you're able.
For Jeff Vaughn, I'm Mark Turner, WFIW News.
More news after this.
If you're looking for a new doctor, look no further than the new SSM Health Provider Finder. Search for physicians online based on conditions and treatments, name spellings and pronunciations, and locations near you. What's more, SSM Health doctors are known for taking the time to listen and connect with you. We call this the healing power of presence. You'll find this helpful tool at ssmhealth.com/doctors.
So you're looking for a way to make a difference. Well, you can by providing vital supplies to the Wayne County Humane Society. Have dog chow, cat food, and litter delivered to the Pearl Foval Shelter at 518 Southeast 4th Street in Fairfield. You can also sponsor a dog or cat by providing the funds for them to be spayed or neutered with needed shots. It makes them more adoptable. The Wayne County Humane Society in Fairfield. Help us help them.
And now, the rest of the news. If you live in Wabash County, this is a great opportunity to show your Christmas spirit and maybe channel your inner Clark Griswold by entering the Sights and Sounds of Christmas Home Decorating Contest. Themed Christmas around the world, it's free to enter and open to all Wabash County residents. Five winners will be chosen for best use of lights, traditional decorations, sound, and theme, along with a grand champion. Each entry is judged in all five categories. Winners receive a yard sign to display throughout the Christmas season, a $25 Retail Merchants Committee gift check, and a wall plaque to display permanently in their home. They also earn bragging rights until December of 2020. Forms are available at First Mid Bank or can be downloaded from the forms page on the Wabash County Chamber website. Entries may also be made directly online from the Christmas Uptown Mount Carmel Facebook page. The deadline to enter is Friday, December 6th. For questions, call 263-2093. The monthly meeting of NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees, will be held on Tuesday, December 10th at the Edwards County Senior Center in Albion, beginning with lunch at 11:30. The program will consist of sharing things having to do with Christmas. Instead of a gift exchange, donations will be taken for the Alzheimer's Fund. All active, retired, and potential members are welcome. For further information, call 847-2321. Fairfield Memorial Hospital is hosting a special event reserved just for children with sensory issues and or autism to have a special time to visit with Santa on December 21st from 9 a.m. until 2. For children who have sensory issues and or autism, it is often too much for them to visit a busy mall or other public venues to see Santa. Fairfield Memorial Hospital believes that Christmas is a special time for all children and will be providing a sensory-friendly area in the FMH Medical Arts Complex. These children will be able to visit Santa and have their photo taken for free. In addition, FMH will also have an area for the siblings of these children to go play that will not interfere with the other children's time with Santa if needed. Refreshments will be served. If you would like to schedule your child's 15-minute session with Santa, please contact FMH's Executive Assistant Mary Knight at 847-8243. Space is limited and a pre-registration is required. When you call to set up a time for your child, information on your child's likes and dislikes will be gathered in order to be better prepared for their session with Santa. State officials say hunters in Illinois took a total of 50,173 deer during the first weekend of the firearm season, which took place from November 22nd through the 24th. This preliminary total reflects a 15% drop in the number of deer harvested compared to the first weekend of 2018. It was just a few years ago that approved use of a powerful herbicide was expanded to soybeans, and environmental groups say native trees in Illinois are becoming collateral damage. In the past, dicamba was primarily used to clear weeds from fields prior to planting, and new formulations claim to have lowered potential for drift. However, retired Illinois State biologist Martin Kemper says there have been an unprecedented number of reports of dicamba damaging susceptible crops over the past several years in Illinois. He says just as concerning is the parallel rise in injuries to dogwoods, oaks, sycamore, and other native trees and plants that are characteristic of exposure to herbicides, such as 2,4-D, and dicamba.
We're seeing a serious decline in the health of many trees, and we've crossed the threshold of mortality for some. Trees take a long time to grow. Many of the oak trees that are being injured are keystone species. They provide acorns for wildlife hardened mast. Those are very important food sources.
A year ago, the EPA approved dicamba's use on soybeans and cotton for 2 more years, but required additional restrictions for application and for chemical manufacturers to study off-site movement of the herbicide during the growing season. Kemper contends much more research is needed on what the use of the herbicide could mean for the health of crucial ecosystems and wildlife in Illinois. The University of Illinois Extension is hosting a training and certification program to help foster emergency preparedness, civic responsibility, and leadership in teens. The My Preparedness Initiative, or MyPI, is a 12-week national program that started in Mississippi State to help young adults learn vital life skills in the event of an emergency. Ramona Gertman is a program coordinator with U of I. She says the program is twofold in its goals to help teens.
This is a really great thing to build kids' skill sets to handle disasters in our area and to be very good advocates for their family and knowing what to do. So there's a lot of self-efficacy in that. And then the other part of it is these kids are going to be taught by professionals in the field. So it's also a really great career building, like exploration piece to it. So there's career exploration, and then there's also like legit learning how to take care of yourself and your family.
Gertman says the skills learned in this program go far beyond a singular emergency event a teen might encounter.
They're going to gain a lot of what we call soft skills. So there's going to be a lot of leadership experiences. You are going to learn effective communication techniques. You'll also get to talk and code, which is kind of cool. Teamwork, decision-making tools, and really it's just one of those things that kind of just helps get you over the hump. There's some really cool skills that you're going to get that will go far beyond what you experience in an emergency.
Contact your local U of I Extension office for more information or search for a link to that office at extension.illinois.edu. State Representative Darren Bailey was invited to serve on a panel last weekend at the 105th Annual Conference of the Illinois Association of School Boards to discuss the teacher shortage in Illinois. The conference, entitled Teacher Shortage, Are We Making Progress?, was moderated by the Assistant Director of Governmental Affairs for the IASB, Ronald Madlock. Representative Bailey joined Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch of the 7th District, member of the Illinois State Board of Education Christina Passione Zayas, Ph.D., and president of the Golden Apple Foundation, Alan Mather, on Saturday, November 23rd for this panel discussion. Currently a member of both the Appropriations Elementary and Secondary Education and the Elementary and Secondary Administration, Licensing and Charter Schools Committee in the Illinois House, Representative Darren Bailey is a former member of his local public school board at North Clay Community Unit School District No. 25 in Louisville. Bailey served for 17 years, 12 of which he was the president of the school board. This was IASB's 105th annual conference and the 87th joint conference with the Illinois Association of School Administrators and the Illinois Association of School Business Officials. Members from school districts throughout the state came together to discuss common issues and concerns and work with your associates to discover strategies, solutions, and best practices. The conference was held in Chicago from November 22nd through the 24th. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker is planning to spend $40,000 of his own money to renovate his state capitol office next month, according to a news release distributed by his staff. Those changes will be mainly functional, however, with no major changes planned for the carpeting, wallpaper, furniture, or other cosmetic areas. The office of the governor in Springfield will undergo renovations beginning the week of December 10th, with the goal of improving functionality for staff. It is expected to conclude before the end of the year, according to a statement released by Pritzker's press secretary last week. According to a news release, the administration worked with the architect of the Capitol to ensure modifications will not compromise the historical integrity of the office. The ceremonial office, an area which frequently hosts news conferences and is complete with a 1918 Robert Root painting of an 1858 debate between Abe Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas, will be unaffected by the renovations. Pritzker's office also said the work will be done by a union firm and union subcontractors. Starting January 1st, parking area operators will have to collect and remit tax from customers. Kim Howard has more.
Illinois Department of Revenue spokesperson Sam Salustro says parking vendors need to be prepared for the new law.
So that's people who sort of manage and run parking garages, parking lots, other sort of parking areas. They'll be required to register with the state, and they'll have to begin collecting and remitting tax on any rentals of the parking spaces.
Taxes will be remitted monthly and go towards building projects at universities, state facilities, and early childhood centers as part of the state's Rebuild Illinois program. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
And the river stages as of early this morning. The Little Wabash east of Fairfield stands at 22.90 feet above the 17-foot flood stage. Meanwhile, the Skillet Fork at Wayne City has a reading of 15.57 feet with a flood stage of 15 foot. The Little Wabash below Clay City is at 20.07 feet. Its flood stage is 18 foot. Elsewhere, Bonepaw Creek at Browns reads 16.77 feet, and the Little Wabash at Main Street in Carmi has a reading of 22.18 feet. That's the news. Area deaths are next.
The farm family is still the backbone of southwestern Indiana and southeastern Illinois, and TOC Media and area businesses are teaming up to honor area farm families with the annual Illiana Farm Family of the Year program. The 2020 family will be introduced to TOC's Farm Profit Preview in Vincennes on January 23rd. We'll be accepting nominations for the 2020 Farm Family of the Year online right now at WFIWradio.com through January 6th. Go online right now to WFIWradio.com and nominate your family or someone else's family and tell us why they deserve to be named the TOC Media Southern Illiana Farm Family of the Year. Go online now and nominate your farm family for the TOC Southern Illiana Farm Family of the Year at WFIWradio.com.
This is Dave Rigg, inviting you to join me for Gospel Time. If you enjoy gospel music by such recording artists as the Cathedral Quartet, Gold City, the Florida Boys, and the Gaither Vocal Band, I think you'll enjoy listening to Gospel Time. It's heard every Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. on WOKZ-FM 105.9 and WFIW-AM 1390 and 103.3 FM. So join me next time for Gospel Time with Dave Rigg.
Area deaths brought to you by Nell's Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 79-year-old Grayville resident Mary Kay Wood died Friday, November 29th at her home. She worked for Spartan Manufacturing, was a Boy Scout leader, attended Brown's Christian Church, and was a member of the Rebecca Lodge. Mary Wood is survived by sons Rick and Randy Wood of Grayville, 5 grandchildren, and several great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, sister Linda Reed Elliott, and brother Fred Reed. Visitation and funeral for Mary Wood are Sunday, December 1st at Cook Funeral Chapel in Grayville. Visitation is at 1 p.m. and funeral is at 2, with burial in Oak Grove Cemetery in Grayville. 89-year-old Belle Prairie resident Faye Seyfried died Wednesday, November 27th at Hamilton Memorial Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. She was a homemaker and a member of the Hopewell Baptist Church near McLeansboro. Faye Seyfried is survived by her husband, the Reverend Robert Seyfried of Belle Prairie, daughter Deborah Morris of Belle Prairie, a grandchild, and 2 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, her stepfather, 1 son, Terry D. Seyfried, brother Cyrus Seavers, and 2 sisters, Maxine Haley and Wilma Haley. Funeral services for Faye Seyfried will be held today at 2 p.m. at the First General Baptist Church in McLeansboro, with Reverend Robert Seyfried officiating. Faye will be buried at the Crouch Cemetery in Belle Prairie, Illinois. Memorial donations may be made to the Crouch Cemetery Fund and will be accepted at the church and at the Golson Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Online condolences may be shared at www.golsonfuneralhomes.com. The Golson Funeral Home of McLeansboro is assisting the family with the arrangements. 64-year-old Carmi resident Catherine Kathy B. Abby Cheney died Thursday, November 21st at 8:27 at her residence. Kathy worked at various restaurants as a cook. Kathy Cheney is survived by her longtime companion and caregiver, Junior Ziegler of Carmi, 1 daughter, Whitney Costin of Crossville, son Derek Randolph of Crossville, brother Kenny Abbey of Santa Monica, California, sister Sue Nail of Albion, and 2 grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents and 1 sister, Bobby Bevins. A memorial service for Kathy Cheney will be held Monday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. at Nail's Funeral Home in Albion, with David Shane officiating. A visitation will be held at 1 p.m. until the time of the service at Nail's Funeral Home. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.nailsfuneralhome.com. Nail's Funeral Home of Albion is in charge of the arrangements. 81-year-old Flora resident Charles Charlie Everett Spitzner died Thursday afternoon, November 28th, at his home. He worked in the oil fields and went on to a 42-year career at Genmar in Flora, Kentucky, Utah, and even worked a month-long assignment in Australia. Charlie Spitzner is survived by his wife, Sandra Spitzner of Flora, son Charles Chuck Everett Spitzner, Jr. of Reinhard, daughter Christina Diane Cook of Xenia, son Gregory Landrum of Nicholasville, Kentucky, 6 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and a host of nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents and wife, Sue Spitzner. A funeral service for Charlie Spitzner will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, December 3rd, at Frank and Bright Funeral Home in Flora, with brother Ernie Lewis officiating. Burial will be in the Elmwood Cemetery, and visitation will be from 5 until 8 p.m. on Monday evening at the funeral home. Memorial donations are suggested to Clay County Cancer Crusaders and will be accepted through the funeral home. To share a memory or condolence, visit www.frankandbright.com. 91-year-old Burnt Prairie resident Thelma Pearl Matz died Thanksgiving Day at Deaconess Gateway. She was a retired farmer, wife, and mother. Thelma Matz is survived by 5 children, Owen Matz Jr. of Frankfort, Indiana, Donna Jean Bodell of Highland, Diana Stoker of Albion, Sue Garrett of Mill Shoals, and Rebecca Beskow of Carmi. She is also survived by 10 grandchildren, 14 great-grandchildren, 2 great-great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her husband Owen Matz, son Henry Matz, parents, and seven brothers. She was a member of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church of Burnt Prairie and was baptized on September 25th of 2005. Arrangements are currently pending. 79-year-old Belrive resident Iris Faye Richards died Saturday, November 30th in the house where she was born. Iris cooked at Wilkie's Cafe, was a homemaker, and babysat in her home for many years. She was a member of the Belrive Missionary Baptist Church. Iris Richards is survived by her husband Paul, sons Frankie and Kevin Richards of Dahlgren, daughter Paula Brinkman of Mansfield, Texas, seven grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Iris Richards will be held on Tuesday, December 3rd at 10 a.m. at the Belrive Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor Jeremy Hampson will be officiating. Visitation will be Monday, December 2nd at 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. at the Belrive Missionary Baptist Church. Burial will be in the Flint Belrive Cemetery. Online condolences may be shared at www.golsonsfuneralhome.com. Arrangements are entrusted to the Golsons Funeral Home. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly on WFIWradio.com. Again, today's Fairfield area weather forecast calling for a 50% chance of showers with increasing clouds, high near 42. We'll have a full forecast along with current temperatures after sports. I'm Jeremy Smith reporting.
Take a break from cooking this week and let Gotzi's Restaurant in Carmi cook for you. You can buy a $10 gift certificate for only $7 at the Big Deal Store on WFIWradio.com.
WFIWFM and Ultra Products are bringing back the popular Show Us Your Rack promotion. Now through December 31st, upload pictures of you and your buck to the Show Us Your Rack page at WFIWradio.com. The first 25 photos uploaded will receive a free t-shirt from Ultra Products in Fairfield. On Friday, January 3rd, one lucky hunter will be drawn from all the entries and win a Carbon Express Piledriver 390 crossbow valued at $400. Go to WFIWradio.com for complete details. Good luck, hunters!
Time now for a Sunday look at sports. In high school boys basketball action at the Capital Classic at Red Hill, Fairfield defeats Red Hill 77-31, and Olney Richland County comes out over Salem 44-31. At the Capital Classic at Lawrenceville, Marshall defeats Edwards County 77-25, and Mount Carmel defeats Lawrenceville 64-35. At Red Hill, it would be Red Hill over Edwards County in the 7th place game, 49-34 that final score. And Marshall defeats Fairfield in the championship game, 83-81. In Christopher, the 7th place game between Weber and Thompsonville went to Weber, 46-43. The consolation championship between Waltonville and Ziegler-Royalton went to Waltonville, final score 46-36. And New Athens defeats North City, 47-41 in the 3rd place game. Finally, out of Christopher, Christopher defeats Wayne City, 75-69 for the championship. Over in Crab Orchard, it would be Pope County defeating Joppa Maple Grove, 55-45. Crab Orchard over Dongola, 77-46. And Egyptian defeats Elvarado, 54-42. Over at the Pyramid Plus in Carterville, it would be Collinsville taking on Heron. Collinsville defeats Heron, 74-23. Mount Vernon over Marion, 59-32. Heron defeats Carterville 53-57, and Collinsville 65 over Marion 40. At the Classic over in Vianna, we've got Cobden facing off against Century. Cobden would come out victorious with a final score of 60-37. And El Dorado defeats Mounds Meridian with a score of 82-64. Cobden defeats Vianna 47-39. And at the Kaskaskian Classic in Carlisle, Pinckneyville defeats Greenville 70-32. Woodlawn over Carlisle 49-32, Oakville over Hillsboro 62-34, and Freeburg 46 to Flora 32. Over at the Mary Sir Shootout of Neoga, it is Neoga over Sisney 59-5. Over in Cumberland, Cumberland defeats Oblong 63-40 in the 7th place game. Newton defeats Vandalia 63-40 in the Consolation Championship. Casey Westfield 59, Oak Valley 45 in the third place. And the championship game in Cumberland was between Charleston and Dietrich. Charleston victorious 67-59. Taking a look now at high school girls basketball action around the region. At Robinson, it would be Mount Carmel defeating Oblong 74-34. Fairfield defeats Robinson 43-17. And Alney Richland County defeats Marshall 73-67. In Hamilton County girls action, Gallatin County defeated Wayne City 49-36. Hamilton County defeated Cairo 69-25. Lawrenceville defeats Edwards County 53-24. Gallatin County defeats Cairo 48-46. Hamilton comes out over Lawrenceville 59-48. And Wayne City defeats Edwards County. Final score in that matchup 88-86. In Salem, for high school girls action, it was Highland over Carterville 49-31. T-Town defeats Centralia 56-36. And Salem defeats Centralia with a final score of 47-43. Taking a look real quick at high school football action being played around the region. The 5A state championship between Rochester and Chicago St. Rita. Rochester victorious 42-28. The 6A state championship, East St. Louis 43, Crystal Lake Prairie Ridge 21. In the 7A, Chicago Mount Carmel 37 over LaGrange Park Nazareth Academy 37-13 in that score. And in the 8A state championship, it would be Frankfort Lincoln Way East defeating Gurney Warren with a score of 12-0. In college action, SIU and EIU were all off yesterday, but Illinois took on Northwestern, and it was Northwestern coming out on top 29-10. In NBA action, the Philadelphia 76ers defeat the Indiana Pacers with a final score of 119-116. And finally, in hockey, the Blues defeat Pittsburgh 5-2, and the Blackhawks fall to Colorado 7-3. That's a look at sports. I'm Jeremy Smith.
And your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 Fairfield area weather. Today calling for a 50% chance of showers, increasing clouds with a high near 42. Overnight tonight, a 40% chance of rain and snow showers, cloudy with a low around 31. Monday calling for mostly cloudy skies, high of 38 and a low of 25. Partly sunny on Tuesday with a high of 46 and a low around 31. Sunny on Wednesday, high 48 and a low of 30, and mostly sunny on Thursday. Thursday's high 50 with a low around 38.
Currently here at WFIWW OKZ Studios east of Fairfield, it is 40 degrees. We had 1 inch of rain in the gauge overnight, and that brings our yearly total for 2019 to 66.66 inches. That's just shy of 67 inches on the year. You're listening to 104.9 FM, WFIW and WFIWradio.com.